Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Welcome to another episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells, where we redefine the hustle in every episode. Today, I am joined by none other than big business Levi McGuire. He's an independent wrestling manager for the past 7 years for Chicago Style Wrestling. And Levi is going to share his journey from the ringside dreams to a wrestling reality and insisting on the power of perseverance and staying true to your craft. He talks about the industry trials and triumphs, keeping a tight circle, and the art of reading people's energy, all while holding faith close to him. He's not just about the glitz of the show, y'all. He's about mentoring up-and-comers, sweating it out, and making black wrestling shine. Whether you're in the ring or the boardroom, Levi's story is a masterclass of making it big. So stay tuned, get inspired, and remember, it's not just about success, it's about the grind to get you there. This is Why Not You, where we bring the fight to you. Keep pushing, keep striving. Let's go. So ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, D. Wells of Why Not You, and I got a special guest from Chicago, Mr. Yonatan Levi, who is in the wrestling game, and he has so much information that he has to share and just his story. I just want to welcome Mr. Yonatan to the show. Man, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, no problem, my brother. Actually, it's Big Business Levi McGuire.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah, Big Business. Oh, okay. I thought they told you that. Big Business Levi McGuire.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, well, kayfabe. Yeah, but I go by Big Business Levi McGuire. I am a independent professional wrestling manager. I've been doing it for the past 7-8 years, since 2015. Yeah, it's about 7 years. So, wow. Yeah. And I've been working as a manager only at CSW, Chicago Style Wrestling, trained under Steve Barnes, who was he worked in the WWE.
Okay.
Briefly. And Barnes has been in the business for a very long time.
Wow.
And he's known throughout the Chicagoland area and all over. He trains wrestlers and, he trains them both in the ring as well as outside of the ring, so far as with, working out and getting in shape and everything. And I've pretty much been doing this for a while, and I love what I do, man.
Man, I love it because, there's not too many people, when you think about it, who absolutely love what they do. They just doing it for the paycheck and just to get by, and they not taking action on their dreams.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the old school era, mm-hmm. of the 80s and 90s, and, reference to what you said about a lot of people just do stuff just to get by and or for a paycheck. When Michael Jordan, the Bulls played, they played for the love of the game.
Uh-huh.
And don't get me wrong, yes, paycheck as well, but number one was the love of the game. Kobe right. Bryant played for the love of the game.
Yeah.
This is what I like to do. I've grown up watching wrestling throughout my whole life, and I grew up watching guys like Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Sting, Lex Luthor. Did I chop his name up? Is it Luthor or Luger? Lex Luger. My bad. Lex Luger. You got to mix up with the DC era. you know, I grew up watching a lot of those old school cats, as well as The Rock, Stone Cold, and them. And, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much, you know, I'm just carving my own little path in the industry. And,
yeah.
I, so far as with wrestling managers, you know, I grew up watching guys like Bobby Heenan and them, the all-time greatest. Rest in peace, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm just enjoying what I do in the sun, man.
That's right.
Yep.
Because I remember watching those same guys, you know, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Roddy Piper, and I just remember those guys, men in the ring. And I was like, man, whoever faces Andre the Giant, they're going to get dealt with.
So, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Andre the Giant, back then as a kid, when you look at him, you were scared of him. It's like, man, look at this big dude. And, you know, he's, you know, towering over everybody. And what was the old saying from Conan the Barbarian? What did they ask him in the movie? Conan, what is the meaning of life or something like that? He said, crush your enemies. Had them driven before you, you know. And so it's kind of like that. Look at that Andre the Giant. Like, man, look at this dude. And all these guys, you know, Hogan and King Kong Bundy and them. And it's like, man, you know, these guys were just phenomenal. You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
So, man, how did you actually, like, initially get involved in it, and what appealed you to actually go that direction?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, pretty much I've been a wrestling fan since I was, you know, a kid, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s. And I like to talk. I like to, you know, how can I put it? Talk, entertain, you know, as a manager, that's what you have to do. So, you know, growing up watching Heenan and those guys, you know, I've, you know, I figure like, man, this guy, you know, he's getting heat. He's a bad guy. And, you know, man, you know, it's like, man, you know, I like to, you know, see what I could do. And then also the fact that there weren't too many African-American managers in the industry. I mean, you had guys like Slick and Teddy Long, Gary Hart, but there weren't too many any of them in the industry.
Yeah.
And it's, so it's kind of like, you know, I don't mean to be bringing up the color barrier, but it's like, you know, more of that representation needs to be presented, so to speak. So I'm just carving my own little path. I mean, nowadays you got guys like, MVP and them, you know, he's holding them down. He's phenomenal. But, yeah, you know, pretty much, man, just the excitement of being around a big crowd and, you know, having, you know, since my character is a bad guy or a heel, as we say, you know, you know, pretty much I like getting heat and people like to see me, you know, talking that smack on the mic.
That's
all of a sudden, you know, getting knocked out, so to speak, you know. So it's kind of like when you watch an old school, you know, 80s movie like Lethal Weapon or whatever. You know, you got the mob boss, you know, and he's all tough, rugged, you know, rough and rugged. And, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, he in the end, you know, he done did all this dirt, but now at the end he done finally got it, you know. So
that is funny.
That's how I'm looked upon. Yeah, man.
So, you know, I actually, now that you mentioned that, because, I mean, it's so easy to forget because you got, like, the good and bad, and and that's what kind of creates, like, the whole entertainment part and makes it appealing to, like, the spectators. Because, you know, everybody is rooting for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Everybody has their superhero.
Yeah,
and along with the superhero, you got the villain, you know. So you got the big bad villain, you know, doing all the chaos and stuff, and then you got the good guy that has to stop him. So
that's right.
You know, I'm on the mic talking my game or my stuff about mm-hmm. how much, you know, my guy's gonna, you know, put the smack down on the good guy, so to speak. And, yeah. and then all of a sudden, you know, the good guy beats my guy, then he comes after me. You know, so
yeah,
man. That's my own little black villainy. I call it black villain.
That is funny. That's good though.
Yeah, well, what I mean by black villainy is, you know, hey, you know, I'm the African American manager, and I'm, you know, sitting up there, you know, I'm a bad guy, so that's my I call it black villainy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And now, was it easy or was it difficult to actually break into that side of the business for you?
Well, to be honest, it was a little difficult. I mean, I knew the business, uh-huh. but you know, growing up watching wrestling and everything throughout the years, I knew it and everything. But I can say that the complicated transactions of, you know, getting into the industry was so far as the training.
Yeah.
You know, you got to learn how to, even though I'm not a wrestler, I'm a manager, I still have to learn how to take a hit,
uh-huh.
you know, just in case, you know, some, you know, I'm talking smack and somebody grabs me and right. body slams me or whatever. So, you know, you have to learn how to, you know, take a move, and as well as a manager, you have to learn how to talk. So
yeah,
pretty much, you know, when you got that microphone in your hand, you have to, you know, it's kind of like, as the manager to the wrestler, I am the A1 sauce to the steak.
Yeah.
The steak is my client / wrestler, and me being the manager / Don King, agent, whatever you want to call it, you know,
mm-hmm.
I have to be the hype man and make them look good.
That's right.
Know? Yeah. So you know, you learn both, best of both worlds with that.
Yeah.
But pretty much, you know, as time went on, man, it just started, just everything just came natural. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy doing it, you know, you're going to put the time and energy into it. Just investing in yourself and then investing in, you know, what it is that you're doing so you could get better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, it's an art. It's a craft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to advance in it. You know, some guys just be, they just stuck in one scenario, and you can't do that. You know, you got to up it up, as they say, up your game up. So
that's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Now, I know you said you watched wrestling when you were growing up. Was there like any, I think like when you just reflect on, you know, your childhood and you growing up and you looking back, like who are some of your role models back then that had an impact on you?
So far as in wrestling?
Yeah, or just growing up in general.
And growing up in general, to reference Charles Barkley in an old commercial that he did back in the day, your parents are your role models.
Right.
I'm not your role model. Your parents are your models. You remember that one?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah,
so you know, I can say my mom and dad, you know, installing a lot of, you know, a lot of, how can I put it? You know, they've installed a lot of knowledge into me.
Yeah,
a lot of pretty much, you know, just besides the love and everything, just you know, like my mom, she's very knowledgeable. She's a school teacher. My dad, mm-hmm. military man. So, you know, just the morals, a lot of the great good morals, you know.
Yeah.
And then so far as on the wrestling side, you know, guys like Bobby Heenan and definitely Slick and Gary Hart, you know.
Yeah.
So those are the guys that I looked up to. You know, like my dad, you know, he's He's definitely G.I. Joe. I mean, this is a guy that, this is a guy that did two tours in Vietnam, Army and Navy, you know, and then after that, in the early mid 80s, he joined the Sheriff's Department in Houston, Texas. So, yeah, so he did that for a while, and he went to school to be a judge, so he's got his judge degree and all that, and so he retired in 2012. So, but so yeah, man, I wasn't that kid that left out the house with my mom being the school teacher and my dad being in the service and the sheriff. You know, I wasn't that kid that left out the house. Wearing my pants sagging and shoes untied, and they didn't play that.
That's like, I know, right?
No. We bought you a pair of $100-something Air Jordans. You're gonna tie them up. You're not gonna be wearing them, because back in the 90s, that's how the style was. And I never thought that was cute, in my opinion. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I was always taught, you know, dress to impress. You know, and carry yourself a class. So
right.
Yeah, so that's how I was raised, my man. Yep. And I kind of apply everything that I was taught by my parents, especially with my dad, in wrestling and everything. You know, so far as how to carry yourself and, you know, look the part and be professional. And I try to rub some of that juice off onto these young kids today, but you know how that goes.
I do.
You know, we were all once there, so.
Right. And sometimes I think about that as well, like what you just said, as far as like, you know, some of the, you know, with the youth and, you know, how they conduct themselves in this generation, this era. And then, you know, how we were raised, because I was raised in the, you know, I graduated high school in the 80s. And so,
90s for me. 96. Really? Yeah.
So I remember, you know, how it was, you know, even though, I mean, there's, you had just different things going on. So like, you know, of course, you know, break dance and all that stuff was popular.
Oh yeah.
When I was in high school, you know, wearing the Puma sweats with the Pumas with the fat laces.
Yeah. The S curl.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the Michael Jackson jackets and
all of that.
Yeah, I remember that, man. Man, good old days.
For real.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, just with being in this industry, in the wrestling industry, I know you have to have, you know, somebody that you could, you know, bounce things off of every once in a while, just kind of get like sound advice and some direction. And just that circle of influence, you know, how important is that in this industry here, just to have that a good circle of influence and positive associates just to bounce things off of?
Well, it is very important. You know, I mean, to be honest with you, you have to kind of pick and choose the people that, you know, that you know that you vibe with, or people that you know that who have a, you know, a good spirit that you can kind of relate to.
Yeah.
Because to be honest with you, man, you know, my personal experience is I've run across some people that I'm like, you know, I, I can't really, you know, like the song goes, lean on me, you know, lean on you or a certain thing or whatever, to a certain advice. And don't get me wrong, there are some guys that, hey, you know, I could just approach and, you know, we could start to connect and they give me advice and I give them advice. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a two-way street.
Right.
But it's kind of rare, to be honest with you, you know, because basically, a lot of guys are just like, man, you know, I'm gonna do me. I gotta do me, and you know, it's kind of like, hey, you know, you gotta learn on your own or whatever. I mean, it's cool, understandable, but hey, you know, you know, you never know who you may have to, you know, reach out to say, hey, how does this work? Whatever. So,
right.
And I try to, I try to kind of like be that way with some of the young guys,
mm-hmm.
even
mm-hmm.
though I'm just the manager.
Yeah.
You know, I try to, you know, just, you know, give them some advice and stuff. And hell, sometimes they give me advice.
Yep.
You know, nice. Yeah, talking about the young guys. So, I mean, you know, and so it's a two-way scenario with that.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of, I mean, I could see that because I know some people, they see competition differently. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, it's kind of sad, you know, because it gets to the point where it's almost becomes like cutthroat. When you say, you know, I'm just, you know, you got to be looking out for yours because maybe just the environment dictates that, man, you have to look out for yourself. Otherwise, you know, somebody is going to, you know, stab you in the back or something like that.
Yep.
Or try to take people that you're managing, trying to lure them over to their side or whatever. But,
Well, you know, people have their different views on that.
Yeah.
Competition can be, you know, for certain people of, all right, well, if I need to get ahead or do this and that, I hate to use to say this, but I'm going to just keep it real. You know, yeah. It's kind of like sometimes, you know, it's like, man, they got to step on the next man's toes to get to where they need to be at, or stab mm-hmm. you in the back. That's how they do it, you know?
Right.
Now, those are for the ones that use competition in a negative way. Now, for a positive way, you know, it could just be like, hey, you know, you know, getting advice on stuff like we just talked about and
mm-hmm.
applying that, using it, you know, in a timely matter or a matter of whereby is, you know, hey, you know, okay, some people are like, let's see each other succeed.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I see you succeeding and you want to see me succeed. So we help each other out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes it's like that. But from my experiences, it's kind of like some people just, like the song goes, smile in your face and, you know, stab you in the back or whatever. You know,
yeah.
Kind of like you just kind of got to be careful and dot that I and cross some T's, and so to speak, you know.
Right. So do you feel like you kind of have like that spirit of like spirit of discernment where you can actually just based off of conversation and seeing how other people interact just by, you know, just through observing them, can you actually tell like whether or not somebody's a good person or a bad person?
Oh, yes. Definitely all the time.
Uh-huh.
Definitely all the time. I mean, I've always been the type where I've, you know, I just feel things.
Yeah.
I can just sometimes step in a room or just look at somebody, don't even know you. And it's like, man, I pick up something that this ain't right. You know, it just hits you like boom, like
yeah.
Man. You know, I mean, you don't even have to open your mouth or whatever, and it's like, okay, something ain't right. You know, let me not say nothing to this person or. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and I see a lot of that in wrestling. There's some people that sometimes I can have one little experience with you, or you could just say something or do something, and I'm just like, man, okay,
yeah,
I gonna mix my spirit up with that. Let me just kind of, right. You know, fall back for a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, just looking back just over your life and how you grew up and, you know, your journey experiences and all that stuff, do you think it actually helped you and prepared you for what you're doing now?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, it most definitely has. You know, going through going through some things and experiencing life has really molded me into the sport, as well as going through things in the sport as well. So,
yeah.
You know, getting the best from both worlds has really applied me and set me onto the course where I'm at.
Yeah.
Slash heading it. So, yeah, man. So, it definitely has.
That's good. That's good. I mean, cause sometimes I think about just what I'm doing here. I mean, there was some apprehension at first, but at the same time, kind of the same thing. Just the people that I've talked to, things that I've done in the past. Every time it's something where I'm actually elevating myself. And so just to take more risk or to get out of my comfort zone a little bit more and more.
Yeah.
To do the things. Yeah.
Getting out of that comfort zone.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. You have to, excuse me, you have to really see when you get comfortable in one place. Sometimes we all have a tendency of just to like be so attached to it. And it's like, man, you know, we can't see ourselves getting out of here and nowhere else. You know, we're just used to one thing.
Yeah.
And that's how sometimes you get held back.
Yeah.
We can sometimes hold ourselves back.
That's true.
So getting out of your comfort zone is definitely a must thing that you have to do, because it's real easy just to be complacent in one thing. With wrestling, you know, you definitely have to, can't really be in your comfort zone. You really have to just branch out, you know?
Right.
Move around, as they say. Yep.
Like, just doing what you're doing, was there ever a time where you wondered, like, am I doing the right thing? Or have you always just kind of like with that management role, right, you know, that you're in now, could you see yourself like in the past, like, you know what, I know I could definitely do something like this?
There have been times when I've kind of just sat back. What am I doing? You know, shouldn't I be doing this or that? But then it's always that other side that's like, this is where your heart is at.
Right.
So if your heart is right here, then trust your heart. Yeah, I always say, you know, go with your gut feeling, your instincts, or, you know, as I say, if talking biblical terms of God, I put something in your mind with the idea or whatever. Or
yeah.
Something in your heart to do it. It's for a reason. You know, stick to it. So I did with the latter, you know, doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were times when I was kind of like, man, okay, what's going on here? You know? And I think like, no, I'm really not cut out for that.
Yeah.
You know, let me just stick to what my idea is, what I'm doing now. So I'm okay with it, man.
Right. Yeah, because I think that's important, just what you said. One is just kind of having a passion, and even if you do have that thought, it kind of, you end up reflecting just because you've taken the time to put yourself like on time out to like really think about it, right? And you're like, okay. This is where my heart really is. I'm just gonna just follow through on it. Because you have some other folks who are, they might want to do something, but at the same time, they might not have like that skill set to really carry or follow through.
Right.
It's almost like a baseball player who wants to be, you know, the best baseball player, or, you know, he wants to go into major leagues and play baseball, but he has no hand-eye coordination, so he can't even hit.
Right, right. Yeah, he's really out of place with that one right there.
Right. So when you're confronted like with different challenges, which I know you've probably been many times just in this industry, have you been able to like just navigate your thoughts and find a solution?
Well, you know, I just kind of, you know, I just sit back. First of all, I don't get too upset. Like the old saying they used to say back in the day, never let them see you sweat. So I just kind of inhale, exhale, meditate, and then kind of like, you know, weave out the situation. And I look at it for what it is. Then at the
That's
same time, I work on it to find my way of either solving it or dealing with it in a good, feasible manner. So,
right.
you know, I don't, you know, I don't get into arguments with people. I mean, yeah, people got disagreements, but you know, my thing is, okay, it is what it is, you know, but I know what I'm feeling.
Right.
So I just learned to just kind of just approach everything with a calm, cool, collective way.
That's
So,
right.
you know, so it's like sometimes if there's something, within the match or whatever that we have to do, and if I may not be feeling it, you know,
Yeah.
I usually just tend to just go along with it. It's you know, we're all here to perform.
Right.
So, you know, I just try to make the best of it. So, yeah.
Man, that's good. 'Cause I know sometimes, man, it's just when you're confronted with some kind of challenge, man, sometimes you just like what you say, you just really need to think about what actually happened instead of like just reacting impulsively and possibly making it worse.
Yeah, that's not a good way to do it, man. That's a good way to get yourself in trouble. So you just kind of, you know, just take a Zen mentality and just, you know.
He said this in, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you just gotta just be calm, cool, collected with it, and just go with the flow with it. So.
And I like when you said Zen, why did the first thing I think about was that movie, Bad Boys, the captain.
Oh yeah. He's like stepping into my office.
Bro.
Oh no. Man, it's been a minute. What was this, part two or part three? No,
I think that, well, they had three so far.
No, it was part two. Yeah,
Part
three.
two.
Okay, yeah, it's part two. He was like, "Why are you in my office? You're messing up. This is my area, my zen."
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Was funny.
Classic. Yes, sir.
But how important is it, just incorporate faith in and have faith in, how's that actually helped you, not only with yourself but to impact others?
Well, when you say in between others,
No, or just being able to help yourself, or not only helping yourself but being able to help others as well.
well, it has its benefits, man. Yeah, it's just like, if I'm, managing someone, and if we're working up against somebody who's a, let's say if my guy is wrestling somebody who's, as we may call it, green or new or fresh, and they mess up or whatever, or they're lost, we tend to help them out and give them advice and stuff. There've been several instances whereby I've worked a few shows, and a ref was new and fresh, and you know, he probably missed out on something. And after the match, you know, me and the wrestler, we talked to him and let him know, hey, you know, this is what you got to do. Be careful with this and that. And,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, so it just, it works itself out. And mm-hmm. even with, hell, I'm still learning.
Right.
You know, hey, man, you know, sometimes that's just how it is, you know.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of the stuff when you just say you're still learning, I know just being in any type of industry, no matter what it is, you can never stop learning, right? It seems like because things are just constantly evolving and you got to keep up with like the latest and greatest sometimes, mm-hmm. just to stay ahead. Like how important is just personal development, and just growing yourself? How important is that?
Well, that's very important. Because you know, the more that you learn, the more that you begin to develop certain things, and then you work on certain aspects that you've had, you know, or areas where you had issues with,
mm-hmm.
then you know how to apply what you've learned to that. And there were some things that, you know, when I first started working in the industry, I had, you know, there were things I was lost on, man.
Uh-huh.
And people, you know, telling me this and that, giving me advice, and then I did my research, starting and worked on it, and then I've improved.
Yeah.
Usually nowadays, people just want you to grasp stuff right then and there.
Uh-huh. Well,
not everybody's like that. Not everybody's like that. You know, some people it just takes time to. So yeah, that's how it is with that.
That's true. Yeah, I'm like, I can definitely identify with that. Cause sometimes, you know, I know there have been times when I'm just I want to go at my pace, and there's sometimes I need to step it up. And then there's other people I might be working with who are just like at another pace.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, slow down a little bit. That's your pace. That.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, if you're unable to keep up with their pace, and what do you do? They get upset with you. And that. You know, nowadays people don't have patience. You know, I mean, if you're driving in your car, you got the person that's driving real fast, speeding up behind you, and it's like Jesus, you know. And they're not even going nowhere, you know. But you know, this, you know. Cases whereby people just sometimes just throw you to the wolves, man. You know, sometimes they even help you on stuff, give you advice, whatever. They want mm-hmm. you to either get it right then and there, or just say, you know, help with it, you know, on his own or whatever. But I was always taught, you know, don't know something, don't, or whatever, ask the question.
Yeah. You know, that's it.
Yeah. So that's how I did that, you know. So, and it does pay off when you do ask questions. Yeah.
And you know what, man? There was something I wanted to ask you, like in the beginning too, when we first started talking. And that was, man, how did you come up with that name?
Oh, Big Business Levi McGuire.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sit back, get your popcorn, and get your juice or pop or whatever, and let me tell you a little story. So, Big Business Levi McGuire. Well, there's several factors with Big Business. The name Big Business actually derived from a Wu-Tang Clan song.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah. My cousin and I were driving around in the car one day, and we're both hip hop fanatics. And he had a mixtape of all those all these great songs on there. The Mobb Deep, Nas, Will, and he had one of the Wu-Tang Clan members is a guy named Cappadonna.
Oh.
Yeah, he had Cappadonna on the mixtape. So Cappadonna had this song called Big Business. So when he played it, automatically, dude, I felt it. I mean, it was like, you know, we driving around and, you know, I think, I don't know, fuck it, this is back in 2002. We had just left the party. We left some venue or whatever, but, you know, we were feeling good and, you know, driving around and, you know, probably had like maybe a few cocktails and stuff, but, you know, we were just, you know, just listen to all this music. And then the song Cappadonna came on, and it was called Big Business, and the beat was so hard. It was like, I'm like, dang, man, listening to what this guy was rapping about, talking about. And he's like, yeah, we conduct big business. I don't know the whole version, uh-huh. But yeah, we conduct biz. When we step in here, get your crew because we conduct big business. And I told my cousin, like, dude, I could just envision the video of this song because it was never a video for it.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, this reminds me of some hardcore military stuff. So that's part of it, with the name. Then the whole gimmick character is based off of Don King, so it's kind of like a sports agent. So McGuire, like the movie Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise character, he was a sports agent.
Yeah,
I go by Levi. I change it up to McGuire, Levi McGuire, and I'm just kind of like, you know, mixing a little bit of Don King, con man, the swindler. You know, he's there at your side, but at the same time, he's picking your pocket at the side.
Wow.
that's the influence right then and there. But, you know, Big Business is basically, you know, the con man. He's got money. He's got money, but at the same time, really doesn't have money.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to get money from his profits or his investments.
Wow.
So, but mainly that's where Big Business came from a old Wu-Tang Cappadonna song. And, I wish somehow I was able to play the song and you can hear it, and because it was just you know, just to give you an idea of what I was talking about.
Hey, I'm gonna look on YouTube and try to find it.
Cappadonna, Big Business. Came out 2001. I think it's the album. What was the album called? The Yin and Yang or something like that. But I'm a big Wu-Tang Clan fan. And so, yeah, that's Big Business, Levi McGuire, man.
You know, I heard that.
I'm all about the business. You know, at the same time, you know, hey, it's like only in America. You know?
That's right.
You know, only in America. And, you know, my thing is, you know, making black wrestling great again.
There you go.
You know, make black wrestling great again. So, you know, and so that's how it is with that, my man.
Man, that's awesome. I love it. So, like in this phase in your life, man, how would you describe success?
Success?
Yeah.
How would I describe success? Well, success is definitely getting off your tail,
mm-hmm.
putting in the blood. Well, I'll take off the blood. Put in the sweat and tears.
Yeah. You know, there you go.
I'll remove the blood. Putting in the sweat and tears. Basically more of the sweat. And, you know, you got to work hard for whatever you want to get.
Mm-hmm.
Course, you know, ain't nobody gonna give you nothing for free. You just got to kind of maneuver through. There's always obstacles.
Right.
You have the political aspect of it. Well, you know, favoritism on one side, another side, and that, and then you have to deal with going back to, you know, the backstabbers and stuff like that. And pretty much, you know, success is just, you know, sweat and tears, man. Basically, to me nowadays, it's more so of sweat, because you really work hard. Is, you know, you're out here in a competition race, man. You know, it's kind of like keeping up with the Joneses from a certain aspect.
Right.
You know? But once you reach that success, man, then you just sit back with the stogie and the cocktail and
that's right.
Lay on the beach and enjoy the sunshine.
Yep. You said the stogie and the drink. That's it right there. Hey, man, so before I let you go, man, because I appreciate the time. You just taking the time and out of your night.
Appreciate you.
Since this podcast is, you know, really about, you know, helping other people take action on their dreams and ideas and, you know, get out of that comfort zone and just have faith in themselves, is there anything that you could just share to take some action, to take a leap of faith on what it is that's in their hearts?
Well, one, never let anybody discourage you or tell you what you can or can't do. Because that's a lot of that is going on nowadays. I've seen it, experienced it. Got to go, stick with it. Have a one-track mind with it. You know, if it's on your heart to do that, then whatever it is you want to do, stick with it. You know, even as with myself, I have my struggles with that as well. But I'm learning to just pretty much just, you know, what keeps me motivated is, you know, my past or what things I've experienced and gone through. And I'm like, hey, you know what? This is how it is, and I'm not gonna let nothing stop me. You know. Some of us tend to procrastinate. Definitely avoid that. But just pretty much just have that goal, man. Just don't let nobody discourage you or anything. And but mostly, number one is more important, is keeping God in your life. You have to keep God in your life. That's number one out of everything, keeping God in your life.
Yeah.
You know, especially in this day and age. And it can be a struggle for not, you know, maybe for some people, it's a struggle for some people, it isn't. But I'm learning to really, you know, endure that more. And when you have God in your life, you know, that's the main key. That's what can start up. It's like the key starts your vehicle up. That's what starts up. That's what keeps you going.
That's it.
Yeah, so good way to put it.
That's it. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, I want to thank Mr. Levi, also known as Big Business Levi McGuire, for coming on the show. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate your time, your passion, and your energy. And what a great episode. You could definitely tell that Big Business Levi McGuire is absolutely working in his path of greatness. He's passionate about what he's doing, and he's giving back. And so there was a few things that I actually took away from this episode. One is, investing time into your craft is a non-negotiable. Whether you're a wrestler, whether you're a corporate person, or you're a blue-collar worker, honing your skills and committing to self-improvement is key to making an impact. Two, the company you keep can make or break you. Three, Zen and chaos. Man, sometimes we just have to give ourselves a time out, be quiet, and meditate, because we know facing challenges requires
a calm mind and spirit. So learn from big business Levi McGuire. All right, you all. This is your host, D-Well, signing out. You all have a blessed week. And remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.